welcome once again, friends, to another broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. This is Pastor Paul Tabano of Harvest Church in Clifton Park, New York, and I'm so glad you have decided to share this time with us. I pray today's program will be life-changing as you listen to the uncompromised Word of God. Now let's join a service already in progress.
Well, let's quickly turn to a scripture verse over in Hebrews and look at chapter 12 just for a minute. I just want to look at 12:1. Therefore, then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, every unnecessary weight, and that sin. Notice it doesn't say sins. It says what? Sin, singular. So one sin is going to hold us back. And Paul's referring here to a runner in a race. They would pick up their garments and tuck them in so there was nothing that would be in their way so that, in fact, they couldn't trip or fall. In other words, they wanted the least amount of resistance. So there's a sin. Say there's a sin that can be an encumbrance to you and I. Let's read the rest of it now. Ready? Which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to and entangles us, let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. Now let's go to the second verse. Too powerful, all right? Looking away from all that will distract. To who? So will Jesus distract us? No, he'll lead us by his Spirit, but everything else is going to do what? Distract us. Who is the leader and the source of our faith? So our faith has a what? Somebody who leads. We have a president, am I right? The president leads. You have a president of a corporation, president leads. There's always somebody at the head. There's a captain, that captain steers the ship, he leads, all right? Listen now, he's our leader and source of our faith, giving first incentive for our belief. Well, guess what? We're going to identify the sin right there. He's going to give us what? He's going to give us first incentive for our what? Belief. Guess which sin is being talked about by Paul in the first verse? Unbelief. Say unbelief. Unbelief. Let's go a little bit further in this second verse, if you don't mind. I didn't mean to read it, but here we are. And is also its finisher, bringing to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross. Now, the word endured is interesting in the Greek language. The word endured means staying in one place and not moving until the job is done. You ever felt like when you're doing a job, like just to leave and forget about it, let somebody else pick up on it? Jesus had a mission, and he could have at any time said, you know what, Dad, I can't do this thing. But he endured. He endured the cross and the horror of the cross. Am I right? Now, let's see why he did this. Obtaining the prize. Guess who the prize was? Raise your right hand. What's at the end of that hand is the prize. Now, I know your wife or your husband may have called you a prize from time to time. Ever use that expression? You're a prize, okay? He stayed and endured the horrors of Calvary because of the prize set before him. What was the prize? You and me. That's what I call love. He didn't quit. Could he have quit? Yes, we know that because in the Garden of Gethsemane, what does Gethsemane mean? It means wine press. So in Gethsemane, in the pressure of the wine press, Jesus said to the Father, Father, if this cup, if this assignment you've given to me can be taken from me, do it. But nevertheless, why? Because the prize set before him. He would lose every single one of us, past, present, and future. Our lives would be lost, and we remain a slave to Satan and to hell. But Jesus says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to, because I'm the author and finisher of the faith, amen, I'm going to stay and finish my work on Calvary because of the prize. You've seen the sign, I'm sure, bumper stickers anywhere, but it says, freedom isn't what? To get us out of the slave market of sin, it cost Jesus his life. It cost him his blood. He bought us out. Isn't that wonderful? He paid the only price that would be accepted would be the blood. Why? Because blood, if it was shed, means someone's going to die. And Satan thought by Jesus dying, he would have him. But just the opposite was true. Glory to God. You and I are the prize in heaven's trophy, not in hell's trophy. All right? Jesus has a huge trophy in heaven, and it stands for every one of us. Are you ready? Listen. He endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Whoa. Now, here's another scripture I want to look at real quick, building the case for you, all right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3, 16. All scripture, say all scripture, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in, say, in righteousness. Now, quickly, I'm going to break them down for you. We've done this before. First of all, the Word of God is something to believe in. Say, to believe. That's the first thing the Word of God is. See, look at me, everybody. The Word of God must become the absolute in our life. And everyone around us is telling us there are no what? More absolutes. Well, that's a lie. And who do we know? And the Bible says, who's the father of all lies? That lie is being perpetrated throughout society. There is an absolute, and it's the Word of God. If you and I don't decide that the Word of God is an absolute, anything I preach, anything you ever read or hear from any great preacher will never work, because we cannot vacillate from the absolute of God's Word. What happens is, when we're believing God for something and it doesn't happen, we say, well, the Word of God must not be true. We heard, I forget who it was today, sharing, and he said this. He says, sometimes when the answer doesn't come, and it seems like God has failed, you and I become stronger while we're waiting, stronger while we're praying, stronger while we're quoting the Word of God and speaking the Word of God. God cannot lie. Has he not said? Will he not do? That's an absolute. So if it's an absolute, the Word of God, that's what I have to decide my foundation is built on, the Word of God. And Jesus is synonymous with the Word, for he is the Word. The Bible says the Word became what? Flesh, and did what? Lived among us, dwelt among us, all right? Now where is Jesus? So the absolute is on the inside of me. The first sign of trouble, speak the Word, the absolute of God's Word, right back to the midst of the storm. Right, that song we sang a few weeks ago, I keep listening to it, ministers to me every time. Storms don't last forever, but storms aren't fun to go through. We can't wait to see the sunshine. But storms don't last forever. Storms come and storms go. Storms come and storms go. Amen. The Word of God is something to believe. I choose, as a man of God, a pastor, a husband, a father, a grandfather, I choose to believe in something. I choose to believe the Word. Also, it's something to stop doing. The Word of God will keep us, listen to what it says, profitable for reproof. What's reproof? The Word of God will stop us from doing something we shouldn't be doing. I don't like going to church and hear the pastor say I shouldn't be doing this and shouldn't be doing that. Well, the preacher should never be telling you that, but they should point the Word of God out and see what it says. The Word of God is there. It's an absolute that is something to stop doing. It'll say reproof. Now, if you and I are living in sin, we're doing something we shouldn't do, the Spirit of God will do what? Convict us that it's wrong. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The Holy Spirit will convict us and say, nah, you shouldn't be doing that. Boy, that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. That still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Did you share that testimony, hon? Remember, I always talk about listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to this testimony talking about the still small voice of the Spirit. She'll share it again on Sunday. Go ahead.
He drives a city bus, and he said that he was thankful for the teaching and listening to the Holy Spirit, because this week, one night was really, really foggy. I forget which night it was, but it was nighttime, and he was driving the bus, and he had pulled over to pick people up, and he was about to turn back onto the highway, and he said he heard so clearly, don't move the bus, in his spirit. So he looked, and it was foggy, so he looked, there was no lights coming, he looked again, didn't see anybody coming, didn't see any cars coming, didn't see people coming, so he was just about to put his blinker on and pull out, from the side, and go. And he said he heard it a second time, don't move this bus. So he said he kind of got a little irritated almost, because he was looking and there was nothing to stop him. There was nobody coming down the road, but he put the brake on and he got out of the bus and got on the sidewalk, and there was a man under the bus that had slid off the snowbank and was laying under the bus. If he had moved the bus, he would have run right over the man. So he was so thankful the man's life was saved by his obeying the Holy Spirit's voice and not moving the bus.
Thank you, baby. He had a schedule to keep. The weather was foggy. You lose time. But when you hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit, don't try to understand it. Just be obedient to it. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is in our life. He's available. And we've got to develop a relationship with him that is so sharp and so keen that we don't make one step in front of the other step or engage a word out of our mouth if we heard the Holy Spirit say, don't. Amen? I'm telling you, it would keep us from a lifetime of errors and mistakes and regrets and everything else. Listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, all right? So the Word of God is something to stop doing. If the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Word that we shouldn't be doing something, stop. See, the Word of God, say it's an absolute. All right? Now, here's something else. It's something to do better. How many of us know we can get better a lot of things in our life, spiritually and physically, all right? So the Word of God is something to do better. It'll teach us. The last thing is, it helps us to start doing something for the first time. So when you hear this, it's something to believe. What's the Word of God? Something to believe. Say it, say believe. Because what's the one sin that will keep us from God's best for us? Unbelief. The Bible, listen, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So guess what? This is every word that's proceeded out of the mouth of God. Amen? So say with me now, something to believe, something to stop doing, something to do better, and something to start doing. Amen? Now, we just talked a little bit about the Holy Spirit. There's a scripture verse, don't have to turn, Romans 8:26. It talks about the Spirit of God will intercede on our behalf. And listen to this translation, if you don't mind of it. It conveys the idea of how much the Holy Spirit loves us. The Spirit himself falls into our difficulty with us. How many of us have gone through difficult things? How many think you're going to go through difficult? That's part of life. But when we do, if we have the absolute of God's word on the inside of us, we have an absolute that if we're in trouble, if we don't know what to do, if we're in a predicament, whether we got there by ourselves or somebody else put us there, the Holy Spirit, say it with me, the Holy Spirit falls into our difficulty. He doesn't send the rope down. He jumps in. Amen? He say he jumps in. I think it was a couple of years ago in Boston Harbor where somebody fell in the wintertime and hyperthermia was setting in and somebody threw a life preserver out to them. But there was a police officer on duty who shed some of his garments and dove into the water and pulled the lady out. Amen? Why? Because that was the only thing that was going to bring that lady back to shore and save her. The life preserver was a good idea, but it wasn't going to work. Somebody had to jump in to the difficulty of the moment and do a rescue job. Amen? Listen to the rest now. He comes in and jumps into our difficulty with us, initiating a supernatural rescue operation to get us out of the mess we've fallen into. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the absolute of God's word. Now, how often do you think the Holy Spirit's on duty? 24/7. He's there all the time for us. Amen? Before we make a decision, before we think or say anything, we've got to understand that the Spirit of the living God is there for us. The absolute of God's word will keep us above the water. Amen?
This is Pastor Carolyn Tabano. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. If today's program has encouraged you and you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please send all correspondence and financial contributions to Harvest Church, 303 Grooms Road, Clifton Park, New York, 12065. If you'd like to download today's message and view our complete media library, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, you can find us at soldoutforjesus.com. Until next time, remember that you too can be sold out for Jesus because Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive.